we have all of the teachings, the knowledge, the wisdom inside of us. We just don't let it blossom. So it just encourages our highest self to come forth, to share our gifts. What is our own personal jewel? And how do we blossom? How do we be that flower of expression in our short lives on this planet, you know?
Well, welcome back to Happy Brain, everybody. My name is Sean Block. I'm so excited today because I have Kevin Kraft. And our theme today is the power and the healing of music. And Kevin is a musician, a sound healer, and a children's book author. He is the sounder and founder of Sound Shala. I'll put the link in the show notes. But he combines a unique mindfulness curriculum with combining music, breathwork, and movement and meditation to help us feel a little bit better. So much to talk about. I'll have some thoughts at the end of the episode. Cheers. Mm. So here is a mention from the biography from your book.
Mm.
Okay. Ear infection after ear infection and tubes in his ear created an environment where sounds coming in were not as others heard them. What seemed like a disability at first became a true gift to hear songs, to hear things in a unique way. I really like that, Kevin, because I find, and I talk to a lot of people, that sometimes our biggest challenges are our greatest gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Thanks for starting off with that. I have chills because one thing we as humans, we don't know how we hear, right? We hear what we hear, but it's really hard to compare how we hear with how other people hear the world, right? It's very difficult to measure. But one feedback loop we get is our speech, right? We learn to speak by how we learn to listen and emulate the sounds that we receive in the world. So I didn't know this as a kid, and especially as a young child, that I was hearing the world differently. So when I developed a speech impediment, I didn't know that I was hearing the world differently, but only in the interactions with people, like time and time again, where are you from? Your accent is so unique. Are you from New York? I would get that all the time. Like a little kid, someone asking you, are you from New York? I'm like, I don't know. New York's cool. But I started realizing that, okay, this is different. I have to explain why I'm, or at least help to understand why I'm saying things a little bit differently. But it also sparked this creativity with playing with accents and just exploring my voice, and just happened naturally. So I loved accents, loved hearing people with different accents, because it was like this instant connection. It's like, we're all not hearing the same. We all have this mimic mechanism. That is the feedback loop that we interact the world with.
Well, you know? that's what I'm hearing. You're like, we all have different accents. Obviously, some people come from different parts of the country and they speak totally different. And I was always wondering that, like, how does that happen? You're just literally mimicking. It's just like a biological or an evolutionary response to mm-hmm. just do that. So when you're having difficulties, were you having difficulties mimicking? Like, was your ear not hearing the way that other people were hearing? So like, your body wasn't able to mimic it exactly, and it had some impediments and things like that?
Yeah, so I had just, for a year and a half, just ear infection after ear infection in my left ear. So it was difficult to measure, and I don't remember how it was measured, but everything was muted. I had tubes, fluid, whatever. So let's say I heard great out of one ear and one was muted. So I was only getting 50-60% integrity of what I was hearing. Hmm. Is my best guess.
And fast forward a little bit of time, another part of your story, it said like in 2008, you had some epic realization with sound. What was that? And how was that like a turning point for you?
So I had, for 3 years, I had jumped into yoga to heal a physical injury. I had been to a lot of yoga classes. And of course, in yoga classes, you hear yoga music. And within that genre of yoga music, there's a lot of chanting music. So I was on the peripheral, I was aware of this field of chanting music or quote unquote yoga music, but it wasn't really internalized. Didn't really understand it. It was a whole world. And then I went to this Krishna Das concert, and Krishna Das is an American from New York, started off as a rock and roll star, basically found the spiritual aspirant path and dove right into India and took his music background and turned into devotional singing, kirtan. So I went to this concert in Honolulu. It was a big concert, 2,000-3,000 people. one thing I was like, wow, a lot of people are going to see devotional music. This is worth noting. This is interesting. And then pretty quickly after two or three songs, there was something in the air. I went there by myself, so I was fully present with my own experience, and something was in the air. And it was palpable, it was sweet. It was I could say it felt like a living entity. So I remember walking out in Honolulu. It's warm nights, sweet air. I remember just being outside and looking at the stars and the palm trees, and it's like this feeling was so intoxicating. I knew at that moment I wanted to learn about it and share it.
So feeling it, I heard feeling it. So was that the first time you actually felt like I've done yoga, I've done sound baths, I've done different things, and sometimes you react differently, but it sounds like this time, for whatever reason, it became emotional.
Became emotional, and it was more than a feeling, because there was also a sweetness. Like there was almost a taste component to it, and also like an aliveness to it as well.
So how does sound do that? Like, I know sound is you're going to talk a little bit about that, and our crazy minds are always racing and things like that. How does sound affect us help us calm it down a little bit?
Well, I'd like to start off what I figured out what I experienced after that experience. I was like, what is this? And I learned this to be, I experienced the nod, NAAD. It's a Sanskrit word that means the sacred sound current. So there's sounds everywhere. What differentiates a sound from a sacred sound? And we can get into that in a second. But like a current in the ocean, when you experience a sacred sound current, it sweeps you away. And just like the ocean, if you fight against this current, compared to perhaps meditation or the struggles quieting our own minds, it won't work. You'll tire and give up. So you have to, there's a surrendering, a letting go, a releasing of control, and then you get swept away into this sweetness of sound.
And you talk about waves, like frequency, right? So is it hitting you at a certain, like, perfect frequency that your body is reacting to?
There's so many things that happen, I think, within the context of sacred sound. I'll just start with the most powerful magical component is mantra. Mantra, they're ancient prayers that have been around some 5, 10,000 years old. They typically invoke an aspect of divinity or a frequency of the divine. And there's also a sacred numerology, number of cadence. There's a cadence to it. There's a simplicity. There's a repetition. And mantra means basically tool for the mind. Manas is mind. That's man. Tra is like tool or transport. So interesting. We have both of those words in our English language. Human, man, mind. That's the same. That comes from Sanskrit manas. And tra is the same as transport in English. So to be a tool for the mind or to transport the mind. So these are formulaic instructions on how to quiet the mind. So one thing that's fascinating, for 10,000 plus years, humans have known the out of balance strength of the mind and the need to quiet it. So that they didn't have social media, they didn't have all the stuff that we grapple with, but yet they still realize that in order to find inner peace and happiness, you need to quiet the mind. I just like, I love that.
That is fascinating. So way back when, people have been trying to beat anxiety, and we've termed it. We have all these thoughts and monkey mind and all these different things. And you're saying, like, way back then, they were trying to figure out ways and solutions to help quiet it. And maybe those simple solutions carry over thousands and thousands of years, right? And help us. So what's an example of a mantra that you used or that came up with that has really been powerful that's helped
Yeah,
you?
well, the most widely spoken mantra on the planet is Om Mani Padme Hum. Have you heard that one before?
I think so. Yeah. You want to just do a real quick one? Or do you,
Yeah,
is, do
let's.
you, do you, yeah, go
Can I
for
do
it.
it on the harmonium?
Yeah, please.
Well, let me explain. So, this is the most widely spoken mantra. It's a Buddhist mantra. Om is the sound of the universe. There are over 100 meanings of Om, but it's essentially the activator. It's the abracadabra that opens the space, tells the body mind, all right, something is going to unlock here. Mani is jewel. If you solar plexus in Sanskrit is Manipura, that's the city of jewels. So Om Mani. Padme is lotus, Om. So basically that means the jewel arises from the muddy waters into the lotus. And that is what a wonderful teaching, that we have all of the teachings, the knowledge, the wisdom inside of us. We just don't let it blossom. So it just encourages our highest self to come forth, to share our gifts. What is our own personal jewel? And how do we blossom? How do we be that flower of expression in our short lives on this planet?
Powerful, powerful for sure. I love it.
So one thing also, I said mantra, but also it's really important that these languages, Sanskrit, Gurmukhi, Aramaic, there are several languages that are considered vibrational languages, very different than English. So just you don't even need to know what the word means, just by saying it, the vibration is of a higher vibration to tap into this matrix, if you will.
Interesting, interesting. We had one guest who talked about light language or something like that, that was just sound like gibberish, but it was a vibration or something like that. That's fascinating.
Light language is fascinating. It's fascinating. And then I mentioned this a little bit before. It's the repetition. It's this circular nature that allows the mind to let go. It's like, I don't need to learn new words, new melodies, new harmonies. This is like four words, right? Om Mani Padme Hum. Four words that just repeat. And it's so soothing for the mind because it can let go. And then there are like tools like mala beads. If when you meditate with mala beads, also another tool to say, hello mind, we don't need you today. You work so hard. We're super grateful for everything you do. But please, would you just sit down for a second? Sit down.
I hear you. So you want to try that on your harmonium?
So if you're listening out there, I invite you to maybe sit into your sit bones a little bit, maybe elongate your spine, close your eyes, maybe just do a quick check-in with your body. How are you right now? And if you know it, or if you want to join in, I invite you to sing with me. And also tap into this jewel that you know you have inside of you and encourage it to rise. Excuse me, it's pretty early in the morning here. I haven't done a whole lot of vocal warm-ups, but
That's all
I'll
right.
go. Here
That's
you
all good.
go. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om
Om
Mani
Padme
Padme Hum.
Om
Om
Om Padme
Mani Padme Hum. Om 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 Mani Padme Hum. One more time. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.
Wow, what I feel like, Kevin, is I feel like the vibration in your body. So when you say you can, it's literally a vibration. Is that part of it? Just you feel sensation in your body.
Oh my gosh, each of these, like I love, I use the flute as an example, right? This has six holes, two, three, four, five, six. Our chakra is a Sanskrit word that means wheel. Essentially, we have seven main chakras. Different systems have sometimes more, some are less, but we have seven main energy centers, starting from our root going to our crown. And then we have 72,000 nadis, nod, the sacred sound current, and nadis. The nadis are the energetic extension of our astral nervous system. So when our nerves, which are physical, you can dissect and see nerves, where they end, nadis begin. And that's the energetic body. Chakras are part of the energetic body as well. So we've got 72,000 that intersect with these chakras. And every musical note, every sound we make in the vowel sounds will stimulate that energetic center. So, and also, like, just see, this is a great exercise. Om, it's spelled OM, but the pronunciation is often ah, ooh, Om, which is, there's a whole podcast just on that. But ah is a sound that starts at the very back of your throat and ends on your lips. And ah is the sound of the heart. Ah, ooh, goes down to your root. Ooh, goes to your crown. So you just put your hand on top of your head and say, You feel that? So basically, we're pinging heart, root, crown. So we are stimulating our entire energetic channel by a simple chant. And it's that, but it's also the intentionality. One thing that just blows my mind is this simple concept that is not spiritual or anything. It's energy goes where attention flows, right? You bring a single-pointed focus to a mantra or to a body part or what you want to create, that aligns your focus. Otherwise, there's leakage and who knows what we're thinking about, whatever. We can calm our mind and focus. It's incredible what can be done.
So what you're saying is if I do that simple chant, I'm getting in touch with every part of my existence, every part of my body, my mind, my body, my heart, my spirit. Like you're activating that or getting in touch with that part of you, those
Absolutely.
parts.
It's
Oh, wow.
definitely, as you can tell, you're tapping into your physical body. You feel the physical vibration run through you, right? That's the physical connection, but you're also connecting with your energy body, your energetic body. And I love yoga just breaks down. We have got seven sheets of our body where most people will say, yeah, definitely have a physical body. Most people agree I have an emotional body. Most people agree they have a mental body. That's very logical. But when you get into your bliss body or your karma body or your prana, your energy life form body, that's when people go, I don't know about that. So I love being that bridge between things that we know we believe in and then that little leap to, like, oh my gosh, what if I look at my energetic body as a map to access a different dimension within?
Kevin, there's so much there and so exciting. You should start a podcast. Wait, you told me you're going to start a
Wait a
podcast.
minute. It's coming soon. Thank you, Sean. You have a great idea.
So the other thing that you've done is you're also an author. And so we were talking in the beginning, mentioning your book. I think it was called, right?
Beautiful.
Elongating It, okay? And it's a children's book. It's a fictional book, but I imagine you're tapping into a little bit of yourself. And what is the book about and why did you write it?
Yeah, it dropped on me, which was a really wonderful experience. So I have a service project called Music Mandala 108. We raise money to help at-need schools get money to support their music programs. And so we have a class in Sri Lanka. We support schools in Sri Lanka and in India. And this school in Sri Lanka, it's a really beautiful story. One of the students had lost her mother and was really just in a bad place. And my friend and partner on this program saw this sullen nature of her student and started introducing some mantra, some chants. And she responded so incredibly well. And she had some music background that it lit her up. And it basically revived her with life. Her students saw this, and then the students said, let's make an album. And one of the students' father had a recording studio in Colombo, Sri Lanka. So this happened really quickly. They decided to make an album, had a recording studio, and then I'm like, oh, I'll make the CD booklet. And I was going to do like a cartoon or something explaining the kids and music. And then I just started putting it out, and then the story came through. And it wasn't until I finished it that I even realized it was about me. And it was like, oh my God. And I love that because so much of this type of work, especially dealing with sound, is just tapping into a part of us that we've forgotten. And I think this is an expression of that.
That's beautiful. And it really goes back to what we were talking about right in the beginning, that our greatest challenges are our challenges are our greatest gifts. And you subconsciously tapped into that, your experience and your story. And that's maybe why we have these challenges in life, so we can teach others, right?
Right. I think
and it's
all
powerful.
Struggles are
powerful
for a reason.
And
yeah.
So we can get that book. I'll put it in the show notes. And it's a children's book, but it sounds like it might be good for the parents who are reading it to their children too.
It really is. So it's about a young boy who's deaf, who learns to listen and hear through his heart. But really it's a metaphor for all of us who aren't yet really listening to the magic and mystery that surrounds us. So many of us get stuck in the density of life when we forget about mystery and magic and mysticism. So it's a message to everyone saying, hey, this is how amazing is this one short, wonderful life? And yeah. And so there are seven M's in Om, and each M basically represents one of the seven chakras. And I think rhyming, alliteration, these are things created through the development of language to help us tap into words in a more meaningful way. Why children's books rhyme and why songs rhyme? Because it speaks to us in a different manner.
Well, thanks, Kevin. This has been a fascinating conversation. There's so much more to learn, so I appreciate your time.
Yeah, so many things to talk about.
And there you have it. Wow, that was probably the most, I don't know, emotional or just touching episode that I've recorded, in the sense that I really love music, and learning more about how music affects our body, our mind, our soul, and why, like, if you've ever done yoga, I've done a little bit of yoga, why the word Om is so powerful, and it touches our different parts of our body. So not only does it touch our heart, our mind, our soul, it's like a way of connecting with yourself. And I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And the other takeaway from this episode, and I want you to think about this for yourself. Everybody has challenges, right? Everybody has things that they've gone through. And like our guest today, sometimes our challenges can be our greatest gifts. Think about that. The challenges, the pain, the things that you've gone through could be the greatest gift for other people, for yourself, but for the world, for humanity. It's like we're being tested to share our gifts, which are our challenges. So, you know, note to myself, maybe that's something I need to do more. Great takeaways, great episode. Thanks again for listening to Happy Brain. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.